Okay, let's get started with Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. It very much relates, Kuf Pei Zayin very much relates to the end of Kuf Pei Vav that we were doing yesterday. Just a little bit of introduction to Siman Kuf Pei Zayin before we get into the sugya a little bit. There are two parts to this Siman, and each of which deserves its own attention, and it's really easier to learn the Siman when you sort of separate the two parts out. One of them is actually the bulk of the conversation, but is very much not halacha l'maisa. The other one is a smaller portion of the conversation, but is very, very relevant halacha l'maisa. And you could do all of the gemaras at once because the sugyas aren't terribly long in Shas. But as far as learning the halacha through with the Torah, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, the Dosei Kelim, you're better off focusing on one section, going through it, and then the other section, rather than just reading all the Torahs and the Beis Yosef of the whole Siman, and then going through all the Shulchan Aruch of the whole Siman. So the two parts are as follows. The first part, of course, is really the title of the Siman, which is Roa Dam Machmas Tashmish. If a woman is in the unfortunate situation that she becomes a Nida every time that she has Tashmish Amita, that sugya is Nida Samachayim Beis from Tanur Rabban Haro Dam Machmas Tashmish, at the very bottom of Samachayim Beis, two lines from the bottom of the page, until Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, three lines before the lines get wide, where it's Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Hiskin Rabbi Besados. That's already the next sugya. Now in there, there's actually a small section that relates to the second part of the siman that we can sort of skip over as we're focusing on Da Machmas Tashmish. Within a subcategory of Da Machmas Tashmish is another sugya that appears earlier in the Masechta. And again, just to give you the lay of the land a little bit, the sugya on Yud Dalet Amud Bey is going to Tesvav Amud Aleph. Yud Dalet Amud Bey is Tan Rabbanan Ezu Shir Veset until Tesvav Amud Aleph. Till Tesvav Amud Aleph. Let me find it inside. Until Tezvav Amrav, Rabbi Yehuda ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, meaning about 12 lines into the page at the two dots, at the word kasha. So that section of Gemara really focuses on the timing of verifying that she's Roda Machmas Tashmish. Because a woman has Tashmish Amita, and then she becomes a Nida. What do you mean, and then? When then? A day later, a week later, an hour later, a minute later, a second later? What does it mean, and then she becomes a Nida? She discovers she's a Nida. So the timing of it and how tight it has to be from the moment that Tashmish ends until she discovers the Dam in order to label her Roa Machmas Tashmish, that's really that sugya. It doesn't really get discussed so much in the primary sugya of Samachai Samavav. That really gets discussed in the second parak of Maseches Nida on Yudal and Beis going to Tes Vav Amud Aleph. And the Beis Yosef has quite an arichus on that as well, at the beginning of Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, going through all of the Rishonim. So the first section of Siman Kuf Pei Zayin is Roa Da Machmas Tashmish. I call it the first section because it's what Kuf Pei Zayin starts with, but it also comes up, so it's Sif Aleph through Sif Gimel, and then Sif Ches and Sif Tes, and also a little bit Yur and Yur Aleph. Right, that's Roa Da Machmas Tashmish. What's the second sugya in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin? So the second critical sugya, very much nogea lemaisa in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, is the sugya of damaka. That if a woman has some sort of injury, some sort of wound, so to what extent can we rely that dam that she sees is from that injury rather than from regular uterine bleeding? And obviously this is very, very nogea lemaisa. Anytime a woman has a gynecological procedure that's done or some sort of aggravation. So, the primary discussion we're going to have about Dam Mach is really going to be in Siman Kuf Tzadi when we talk about Ksamim, because there's a whole heter of Taliya Bimaka. But over here we're talking about a Re'ias Dam, not about a Kesem, not about a stain. But a woman actually has a regular Re'ias Dam, to what extent can you be told of that in a Makkah? What do I mean? Let's say a woman takes a bedikah cloth and inserts the bedikah cloth and blood comes out on the bedikah cloth. So you can't be tola bimaka, like in Siman Kuf Tzadi. Siman Kuf Tzadi is if she finds a stain on her underwear. But anything that happens internally, as we've discussed, anything that Dilma Argisha Balavadaita, that maybe she had a hargasha and she didn't realize because she was inserting something internally, you don't have the regular halachos of ksamim. So we're going to have to figure out what kind of maka, how sure does she have to be that it's a maka, where is the maka, and you know at what point you can rely on such, who can you trust about the maka? What if the doctor tells you that it's a maka and he has a fine reputation as a physician, but he happens to not be a Jewish physician, he or she happens to not be a Jewish physician? Does a non-Jew have ne'emanus on a maka? So that's the second part of Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. We're probably going to get to that next week. I mean, that's what we're not going to. We're going to first go on discuss Damach Mastashmish today and tomorrow. At least that's the plan. So that sugya is from the Gemara Daf Tes Zayin Amar Aleph De Tanya, and also really the Hemshech of the sugya and Samach Vav Amar Aleph. That, you know, there's like a window in the sugya on Samach Vav Amar Aleph that starts talking about the amaka a little bit. But then again, Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph, Ditanya Haroa Da Machmas Maka, and also Tosos over there is an important Tosos. On Tezayin Amar Aleph, Dibra Maschil, Umar Savar, Vestos Trabanon, that's an important Tosos. So if you're going through the Gemaras, like you should be, that's where that sugya is going to be focused. And it will be essentially Se'ifim Dalet through Zayin in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin are going to be about Dav Maka. Okay, so all we did is we didn't learn anything yet, right? We just the lay of the land a little bit, because sometimes that's helpful, a little bit of a pregame, you know, to know at least what to look at. Good? Okay. Before we get to the sugya, a second word of introduction. We're counting the first 7 minutes as one word. A second word of introduction in terms of Torah content. There's a basic chakira that is worth keeping in mind when we discuss Da Machmas Tashmish. We call it a chakira. It's really a machlokas in the major achronim in this siman. The basic hakira is as follows. You have this idea that a woman bleeds every time she has Tashmish Amita. She has something with her that she bleeds every time she has Tashmish Amita. How will we magdir that? What is that? What is that halacha? That because she bleeds every time she has Tashmish Amita, you're not allowed to be with her. Right? I mean, does that mean, and she's not allowed to be with anybody, meaning that she's a surah for the people because of that? Is there some other halacha that we know of that this is an offshoot of? Or is this like this? It's its own independent halacha? So all the achronim seem to assume this relates to something else. Question is what? What is this? What is this an offshoot of? What is this in the category of? So Nadbi Yehuda writes, and this is going to come up throughout the entire siman, in like all the Pesachei Tshuvas through the siman, so just keep this in mind. And really the Pesachei Tshuva right at the very outset, and Sivkat Nalf already starts to allude to this. Nadbiuda writes in Madura Kama, Siman Samach Aleph, that this is very similar to a veses hakfitzos. There's such a thing as a woman who, and we'll get to it in Kofei Tess, that there's such a thing as a woman who becomes a nida every time she does a particular activity. Every time this woman does cartwheels, she becomes a nida. Kfitzos, right? Jumping, unnatural types of jumping, right? So anytime she does that, she becomes a nida. So, says Nadav Yehuda, this matches, meaning this is an activity, it's something that she does that brings about nidus. So, it seems to be a Vesas HaKvitzos. The Shach and Sivkat Lamed Hei seems to assume the same, right? Seems to assume like that Nadav Yehuda as well. Let's find it. So says the Shach. Yeah. The Shach writes, nearly, Duadin Leves HaChodesh Choshashas. So this is already going on what it says in Sifir Aleph, that a woman who sees Machmas Tashmish, and then a half a year later, again is Ra Machmas Tashmish, she's Muteris Labayla, and Lokav vessel shav lo bediluk miu choshesh achron pam achas. Meaning a half a year later, she's going to have to be choshesh again. And if she has roa machmas tashmish shlosh zimni veses shava mutaris l'shamish bein vessel veses. An unusual case. The Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you have a woman who's roa machmas tashmish every 6 months, meaning like clockwork. Every 6 months, she's all the tashmish in between, she's not roa machmas tashmish. But every 6 months, so it's like this combination vessel. Every 6 months, she's roa machmas tashmish. So Shulchan Aruch says she could be mishamish bein vessels l'vessas, but every 6 months she cannot have tashmish amita because that's roa machmas tashmish. So the shach in over there, the shach starts comparing this to different activities of vessels haguf that's bal yedei ones. Kigon kvitza, kaim lanasa, misif yudzayin, dein chashas, el kishkava, also biyom yadua, below kol pam shetik boats, meaning the shach compares directly this this inyan of roa machmas tashmish to a case of kvitzos, to a woman who sees dam whenever she jumps up and down, whenever she does cartwheels or whatever. Good, so that's the Nodi Yehuda. So essentially, the way the Nodi Yehuda understands it is the halachos of roa machmas tashmish, and there's a huge kula. We're going to see this Nodi Yehuda is a tremendous kula, that the halachos of roa machmas tashmish should mirror vessels of kvitzos, and it therefore turns out that if she has it three times, it has the status of a vessel. She'ena kavua. Ooh, because when a woman sees dam, let's say, every 32 days, and it happens three times, that it's 32 days apart, that's a vessus kavua, that she sees dam every 32 days. But if a woman sees dam every time she does cartwheels three times in a row, she has to be choshesh for it, but the same way she'd be choshesh for vessus she'ena kavua. What does it mean, be choshesh for vessus she'ena kavua? Any woman that ever sees dam already has to mark her calendar next month for certain things. How many days was it between my last two re'ils? She's got to mark the calendar forward, that same number of days going forward. Ah, she doesn't have vesses kavua for that number of days. It just happened once. Yeah, but that's called a ves she'ena kavua. When a woman sees dam because of kfitzos, it takes on the status of vesses she'ena kavua. Very, very important, because there's a huge difference between vesses kavua and a ves she'ena kavua. If a woman has a vesel kavua, how do you get rid of that vesel kavua? How does she undo the vesel kavua? How does the vesel kavua go away? It has to happen, it has to not happen three consecutive times. Let's say you have a woman that on the 15th day of every Jewish month, of every Hebrew month, the 15th day of the month, she sees dam. So tesvav nisan, tesvav iyar, tesvav sivan, right? Every 15th of the month. So then comes Tammuz, and she doesn't see dam on the 15th of Tammuz, she still has a vesus kavua, right? Because it has to not happen 3 months in a row to get rid of the vesus kavua. That's when you have vesus kavua. But let's say a woman doesn't have vesus kavua. A woman's dam bleeds on the 15th day of Nisan. Okay, so she's going to be choshesh. Maybe she's starting a vesus kavua. So she'll be choshesh for the 15th day of Iyar. She'll be choshesh, right? What happens if she doesn't see on the 15th day of Iyar? She's done. It's over. One time, and you get rid of a vesa she'ena kavua. So it's huge. What's the Nodi Yehuda telling us? That a vesas, the kvitzos, is a vesas she'ena kavua, which means that we understand very well why a single tashmish without dam gets rid of the whole thing. If she has tashmish once without dam, you don't have the problem anymore. It goes away. It can restart if at some later point in her life she has three consecutive times. But it would go away just with a single tashmish without dam. Also, based on this Nodi Yehuda, and this is like the real big one, the Pischei Tshuva writes in Sif Katan Aleph. And again, all of this is introduction before we even look at the sugya. Pischei Tshuva writes in Sif Katan Aleph, Ein Tshuva's Nodi Yehuda Madura Kamachel Yerdeh Sif Samach Aleph, Shehimtzi Heter L'Roa Machmas Tashmish. Nodi Yehuda found a heter for a woman who's Roa Machmas Tashmish. The case was, if I'm not mistaken, that's the tshuva with Nodi Yehuda, had a Talmud who was a Rav somewhere, and a woman came and said that she was Roa Machmas Tashmish two times in a row, and the rabbi said, oh, no problem, it's only three times that it's a problem. So she went back and had Tashmish again, she said, okay, now it's three times. And he said, oh, now I don't know what to do, so he wrote a letter to his Rebbe, to the Nodi Yehuda. And Nodi Yehuda said, you idiot, right? If a woman comes with two times, you don't say, oh, try again. You figure out the solution before you try again. Right? That's the tshuva where he uses that lashon from Kain and Hevel. That dam of shalisha zut tzoracho salacha. You know, that this woman's blood is crying to you, screaming at you. Yeah, so in that tshuva, he's got to come up with a heter for machmas tashmish. So what's his heter? That would be mutter, meaning if she was Rav Machmas Tashrish, but she didn't have a Vesek Kavur, she wasn't on a set pattern at the time that she was Rav Machmas Tashrish, and now she gets herself on a set cycle, the Vesek, the Rav Machmas Tashrish goes away. Why? Because Rav Machmas Tashrish, according to the Nodvi, does a din of Vesek Sheina Kavua. You know how you get rid of Vesek Sheina Kavua? Surefire way to get rid of any Vesek Sheina Kavua? If you have Vesek Kavua. This is why, by the way, most people who learn or teach Hilchos Nida do Simon Kuf Pei Test before they do Simon Kuf Pei Zayin, because the language is much easier to express when you understand what a Vesek Kavua is, what a Vesek Sheina Kavua is, and you know how it works, that if a woman has a, you know, Vesek Sheina Kavua just means a regular woman who has no patterns, right? So she's always choshesh, maybe I'm establishing pattern. So next month, I'm going to be choshesh. If it was the test vav of this month, I'm going to be choshesh test vav next month. And who knows, maybe it's a haflaga, maybe it's a number of days between periods. So if it was 28 days between my last two periods, I'm going to project forward 28 days. But if she has a Vesek Kavua, you ignore all that. All that goes away. Because you don't have to try projecting, maybe this is how I'm establishing, but you know what your Vesek is. So the halacha is Ves Sheina Kavua goes away when you have Ves Kavua. So says another Yehuda, a beautiful heter. Here you have a woman who's Rav Machmas Tashrish. As long as she establishes Ves Kavua, put her on a pill. Another Yehuda didn't have pills yet, but put her on a pill. Get her on a set pattern, and then Rav Machmas Tashrish is not a problem anymore.
What's the spot of that? Just because you could have two Vestas potentially. Maybe you could have one which is cyclical, just based on time. The other one is closed by
the bed. But a Vesek Lekvitzos, we never assume, is predictable enough to have a status of Vesek Kavua. We'll get to that in Kuf Pei Tes. But we don't assume that that's predictable enough and strong enough to have a status of Vesek Kavua. And when you have Vesek Kavua and Vesek Sheina Kavua, Kavua always going to win.
And
right?
You can't have both functioning simultaneously.
Yeah, you can have two Kavuas functioning simultaneously. But you can't have Vesek Kavua and Vesek Sheina Kavua functioning simultaneously.
According to Nodi Yehuda, you could technically have any case where if she's wrote down Machmas Tashmish, and then technically you just have to set up a Vesek Kavua, and then you're good.
So correct.
Why is the Lashon of Gemara say that for Machmas Tashmish three times, okay, so then Asur Labal and they need a divorce?
Because the assumption is that before there were pills, women didn't really have the ability to determine whether they're going to set up a Vesek Kavua. It's just sort of what happens. That's Nadvuda says, if we can wait and see that she establishes Vesek Kavua, that's an easy solution. He then says, yeah, but we can't always do that, and he has to work on something else. Mm-hmm. But if we can have that, then that's that would be the best solution.
Or she's really done Machmas Tashmish in a Kavua. Does that count as a Vesek Kavua?
No, this is in a Kavua way. Still, it's not a Vesek Kavua. Right? Meaning it's considered Vesek Lekvitzos. That's what Nadavidu assumes. That's a great tradition of Nadavidu.
Even with the Shachal?
Yeah, Vesek Lekvitzos. Shachal is a Kvitzos.
But again, just in the Mitzvah, so what's he telling her? He's saying that she should not have, she should not be with the husband anymore. So now she reverts back to a regular cycle. And again, says, oh, she's got a Vesek, like, we no longer think she's going to be Rav Machmas Tashmish.
Right.
Because she hasn't had any Tashmish. As soon as she's has Tashmish, she's going to see again.
You don't know that. Meaning, no, now she has a Vesek, so you assume she'll see at the Vesek, not at the Tashmish. If she does, then she'll have a problem. But that's the... Yeah, I see something.
In case when it was every 6 months, so she wrote down Machmas Tashmish. So it's not even just saying that that doesn't count as a category. There can be no categories ever. So you're rejecting that category.
Not that reject. I mean, that's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't reject it. He's just saying that doesn't count as a Vesek Kavua. Even that counts as a Vesek Lekvitzos. It's Kvitzos, everything. Meaning there is such a category. This is really why I'm getting it. Kuf Pei Tes really makes sense to learn before Kuf Pei Tes. But in Kuf Pei Tes, like, there are discussions about things that trigger Nida, but not always. They trigger Nida within a certain time frame. Right? So that's what Sefirah Aleph is. Right? That, yes, the Tashmish triggers Nida, but only sometimes. Only within certain time frame. Predictable time frame. But time frame.
You only need one instance where it didn't happen if it's not a Veset Kavua.
Right.
But one instance of every 6 months? Or
yes, or yes. No. It's got to be one instance of...
So, but then
How would you ever have it if she's like... Yeah. Right.
The
right, good. We'll talk about that. Yeah.
According to the Night of Yehuda, after she's read Machmas Tashmish three times, then she establishes another Veset Kavua, so that the Machmas Tashmish goes away. Let's say another time she sees... B'shas Tashmish. Would the Noid of Yehuda consider that no longer Damnida because she has Beses Kavua?
No, it's still Damnida.
It's still Damnida.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but let's just finish up. I'm just trying to give you the basic Hakira, and then we'll go through the Sugya. But the view that writes, with this view, that it's a Beses Lekvitzos, and he writes, and in Simukov Peites, we say that a Beses Shanikva Machmas Ones, Kigo Chekavtsa Verasa, Afilu Irakein Kama Pa'amim Einu Badin Veset Kavua. A Veset Sekfitos is not a Veset Kavua. It has a din of a Veset She'ena Kavua. Umeata Zeu Atzmo Dinish Haro Machmas Tashmish Tare Ma Ben Kfitzo L'Tashmish. What do I care what the activity is that brings about the Nida? Whether it's Kfitzo or whether it's Tashmish. He's doing something physical that brings about Nida. Vim came, kibun to rak ves sheinu kavua, v'yizeh b'nidon hanam, kibun shenik v'lo veset kavua, shuvenu choshesh a veset sheinu kavua klal. So as soon as she has a veset kavua, it goes away. Afil lo nekra adayin a veset sheinu kavua. As we see in Simukov Peites, shach sivkat mem, shafil lo gi adayin yom lamid, shenik v'yom chav, ein etzvich alachlish. Meaning, even if the veset sheinu kavua hasn't disappeared, you've never proven that it's gone. Once a veset kavua comes, the veset sheinu kavua could be ignored. And the Shach is going to talk about, every woman, there's something called Lona Beinus. Every woman, when she bleeds, if she does not have a Veset Kavua, has to assume 30 days later she's going to bleed again. That's Lona Beinus. Why? Because the average is 30 days. So that's what she has to assume. What if she establishes a Veset Kavua for 20 days later? So does she still have to be Choshesh for 30 days later? Says the Nodav Yehuda, quoting from Kuf Peites, no! Because once she has a Veset Kavua, you can ignore all the Veset She'ena Kavua. And then the Yehuda goes on to say, again, all quoted in this long Pesachei Tshuva, Va'av she'chisavti shav she'adayim lo matzasi smach lezeh b'divar rishonim. He says, I've written this Yesod in a number of Tshuvas, and I've admitted that I haven't found this Yesod in the Rishonim. Mikol makom bi'isha yalda kazu, v'sholo la'usra l'kol la'olam, da'asa b'dika shofaris v'hem salamoch, Sarachani lichnos bepirtsa duchuka. He says, here you have a young woman. She's going to become an aguna. Right? She's going to have to, how can I do that to her? So we have to, bepirtsa duchuka, we have to come up with whatever we can. And I think I have an idea. I think it works. So this is what we do for etar agunos. Meaning what the Nadavid is telling us is, he's telling us explicitly what most posts can tell us implicitly, which is that normally when we approach a shayla, we try to approach it down the middle. With 100%, totally even. That we'll see where it takes us. It could take us the chumran, the kula. We don't approach a shaila thinking I need to be mekel or I need to be machmi. We approach a shaila say let's discover the halacha. When it comes to heter agunos, we approach a shaila let's find the kula. We need to find the kula. That it's very critical to find the kula. It has to be a legitimate kula. It has to be something that makes sense. We can't just make stuff up, but that's the attitude that we go into passing such a shayla. And Nodav Yehuda says it explicitly. We go into a pirtza dechuka because it's not a 95-year-old woman who might be an aguna. Somebody, the case was a young woman, and that also is an important yesod. As Rav Asher Weiss told me, there are agunos and there are agunos. There could be a 75-year-old aguna is not the same as a 22-year-old aguna. Kamuvan. Understand that it's much more important that the 22-year-old be able to get remarried. So that's all one side of the chakira. That what is Rav Machmas Tashmish? It's a Veset She'ena Kavua, Veset Lekvitzos. Comes along the Chavos Das in Sif Katan Gimel in the Biurim, and it's quoted over here in the Pesachei Tshuva as well. The Chavos Das says no. It's not a Veset Lekvitzos. It says there are two issues. It's like a veses shel dam chimud sheroa machmas tashmish. It's similar to dam chimud. Dam chimud is the idea that sometimes if a woman is going to get excited, emotional, that shift in her hormones will bring about nidus. And then he says, and this is the part that most people focus on when they say this chakira, also it's a chashash choli, that dam comes from the makar as a result of tashmish. It's an illness that she has. That it's not a veses, it's an illness. It's a condition. And a condition requires a refuah. And that's why, if you look at the sugya, there are indications to either side of this chakira in the sugya, but the biggest indication to the Chavos Daras is that the Gemara tells a maisa that a woman came to Rebbe and she was Ra Machmas Da Mashmash Tashmish, right? And did anyone see the Gemara yet? So Rebbe said, here's the Eitzah, frighten her, right? Boom! Right? See what happens. And apparently, it's a cure for hiccups and for Gemara doesn't mention hiccups, that's just, you know, a little life hack for me, but and also Damach Mastashvish. And when she was frightened, a clot of blood just came out of her body, and he said, cured Nisrapis. She's healed. So obviously he's assuming there was a condition there. And there's a way to cure the condition. Meaning it's an issue that requires refuah. Ooh, so that's the Chavos Daras. If you look in Tosfos, the Chavos Daras compares it to Achilas Shum, which is a little bit of a different idea. That's not a Chashash Chol. On the first part of what the Chavos Daras says, that it's like Chimud, Sharon Machmas Tashmish, he compares it to eating certain types of foods that can mess up a person's system, like eating garlic or whatever. And that Tosfos seems to say in some of Lava Meral and Dibra Maskun Amenes. But the Chavos Daras, if you read the whole Chavos Daras, if you have a lot of patience, he uses this to answer 11 kashas he has on the sugya. So he says, I have 11 kashas, and with this yisod, all my 11 kashas go away. But if you want to see just like, you know, the bottom line, Dibra Masul Chein Nira in the Chavos Daras, it's kedai to take a look. If you have a Chavos Daras on you, Kuf Pei Zayin Sifkan Gimel, I'll just read like the basic. L'chein Nira. Yeah, he says, L'chein Nira B'yishuv Zeh. Dine b'shas amru, dahidasil kamei de Rebbe v'amar la avdan zil ba'asa, azil ba'asa v'nafli menacharad istam, ad zeu mimal v'nofetzas. Right, tells the story of Rebbe. Umash v'sham diyesh inyan choli shem mimal v'nofetzas. That there was some illness, there was some condition, there was some clump of blood that was inside of her that needed to come out. Din kein b'ram machmas tashu sheish lachush l'shnei chashashos. O shehi machmas choli. That something about the tashmish will mess with her hormones. V'yesh lomar shayikimul l'chazal v'kshi machmas choli lo shayich lomar ein kol atzvaos shavos k'mosh kasa habach. Well, actually, okay, we'll get to that later. That we haven't seen the sugi yet. Okay, so that's the basic chakira. And the Aruch HaShulchan in the beginning of Kuf Pei Zayin says this has nothing to do with Veses. Also, he has a different approach, but let's leave it at that Chakira. So the Chakira to keep in mind as we go through the Siman, and particularly as you go through the Piskei Tshuva, where the Piskei Tshuva pretty much spells it out for us, is this a Veses L'Kvitzos, or is this some type of Choli? So now let's just take a basic look at the Sugya. Yeah.
I'm just a little confused how Chumud is different from Kvitzos. Like, why isn't Chumud also considered?
Yeah. So kvitzos is a physical action that causes dam to become loose somehow, whereas chimud we assume is a hormonal change. And achila also we assume is like a hormonal change, meaning that it causes something like more internal as opposed to, I guess, something more physical that would bring it about.
Sure. And chimud is going to be like a vesis kavua, or is it more shayach to vesis at all?
It's somewhat related to Vestos. We really need to wait for a Kuf Pei test to really get into it. But I mean, Dam Chimud is actually a substitute. But we'll get into it, Mirtz Hashem. But right now, just I think the more, you know, the cleaner way to say the Chakira even though it doesn't answer the Chavis Das's 11 questions, if you only say it in this cleaner way, is that it's Choli versus Vesas. Right? Let's just keep it at that for now. Let's start with the Gemara. Let's start learning a little bit. Yeah, things will become clearer as we. Maybe it wasn't so wise to give you the Chakir in advance. I thought maybe. Okay, let's see. The Gemara itself, just to go through the sugya itself, and I'm not saying the Gemara in order. I'm saying it in a logical order rather than the order that it's presented in. Essentially, you could divide the Gemara into three parts. The Gemara has a braisa that tells us the basic halacha, that you get three chances with three husbands, and if three chances happen with three husbands and she fails every one, she's an aguna. Meaning, tashmish 1, 2, and 3 with husband number one, she bleeds each time, divorce that, she has to get a get from that husband, marry someone else, she is allowed to marry someone else, 1, 2, 3, if she sees dam each time, that husband has to give her a get, she gets to marry a third person, 1, 2, 3, and if she sees dam every time, she is asura, she's an aguna. Good, that is, I mean, it's not good, but that is that's the halacha, that's how the Gemara starts out. Second part of the Gemara, if everything fails, and now she's an aguna, there's a way out. The Gemara itself gives a way out. The Gemara says she could do what's called bedika bishvil terus. She could take some type of lead, a lead pipe that's meant to mimic the size of the male aver, put a piece of, and it's hollowed out, and she puts a piece of soft cloth through it that comes out at the top, and she inserts it the way a male aver would be inserted into her. She pulls it out, and then she looks at where the dam appears. If nimtza dam al rosho, if dam is right at the top, she's in trouble. Then it verifies that she's in fact ro'a dam achmas tashmash. If lo nimtza dam al rosho, biyadur shminat stadnuba. If the dam is not found at the top, the dam is found on the sides, then you see, must be dam maka, the dam came in at stadin, the dam was not from the makar, so it's not going to be metameher. Wow. So the Gemara asks a few questions. But first the Gemara asks like practical questions about this, like, ouch, you know, like a piece of lead. So the Gemara says, no, you make it soft on the studs, put something on the outside that makes it soft or whatever and smooth, and it's not going to scratch her, it's not going to hurt her, you know. They developed some sort of product, whatever they did to make it not hurt. Okay, so we took care of it, we're not going to scratch her, it's not good, so we took care of that. But that's not the part that interests me so much. I assume, I don't know what this looked like, but I assume they figured it out, right? Okay. Then the Gemara asks, well, wait a second. If this bedika can be relied on, what are we making this woman crazy for? She's going to get a divorce from her first husband, to marry a second husband, get a divorce from him, to marry a third husband, and only after three times to three husbands, then she does a bedika. You had this in your back pocket the whole time. Why didn't you use it after three times with the first husband? You could have saved her first marriage. Eishes nurim. It would have been so much better. So the Gemara raises God. V'tibdok asma b'biyah shlisha shel bala rishon. Answers the Gemara. Ein kol etzbaos shavos. Not clear what that means. I mean, we know what it means. Ein kol etzbaos shavos means not every tashmish, not every male, not every man is anatomically equivalent to each other, equal to each other. And therefore, it could be that tashmish with one man will make her a nida, but tashmish with another man will not make her a nida. That's what it means. How does it answer the question is a better question. But that's the Gemara's answer. Meaning the Gemara's question was, do this earlier. Do this bedika earlier. Ain't called that spell shuffles. That's why we don't do it earlier. Yeah.
To me it sounded like an optimistic view that, like, fine, so she sees blood with the first husband, but why should we assume that it'll happen with another husband? Ain't called that spell shuffles. We're not
going to
see it again, because that would be
meaning it's a kula that we don't make her do the bedika now. Let her marry someone else, and she could have a perfectly normal marriage.
The bedika itself would be a kula in what I'm saying. Yeah, because
the bedika itself would be a kula. Meaning,
yeah, because we don't really.
Why don't we do the bedika right now? Why not save this marriage?
Should we assume optimistically that it's just specific to this guy, not to the next guy?
And therefore.
And therefore, we don't do the bedika until.
Why not? Later. Why not? Why not?
because it's just this guy, there's no reason to assume that other husbands would also.
Yeah, but the Badika could save her.
Yeah, that's not the angle that I'm saying is that Gemara is approaching.
Let's say the Badika ruins her, right? Let's say the Badika comes out bad, yeah? Can't she still marry a second guy?
Of course she can, yeah.
Of course she can. Ooh, not so plastered at all.
Well, that's not the point. Actually, what I said is wrong. But the point that I was saying is that in Kol it's about Shavu, it means that because we're not assuming that what happened with the first guy would happen with other people, then yes, because she bled while sleeping with the first husband, she needs to divorce him. But we're not going to assume that it'll happen to the second husband, so we don't do this bedikah.
But I got everything until so we don't do this bedikah. Why not? So it may not happen with the second husband. Why not do the bedikah? You can save the first husband's marriage.
She could also be Israel code.
And what?
If it's on the tavern, she'll be.
So meaning Pashup Pshat, you're saying is that you don't want to do this bedikah because it might turn out bad, and if it turns out bad, she's not going to be able to marry anybody.
Well, she can stay married to the husband.
But Lechora, if you hold in Kol Hatzvos Shavos, whatever product this is also not shove it to every male. Right? Lechora. We're going to have to see that, meaning that this is not so pashut. Yeah.
You don't know if the bedikah will work, if using it will work, because if it's, it depends on the
Ah, so you're saying we can't trust the bedikah. So why can I trust it after three times and three times?
I mean, it doesn't matter what the, you know, what the anatomy of the person is like. So then even this thing also.
Okay, very interesting. I mean, it could be, we're not ready to trust this bedikah. And that's a mahalich in Rishon. The bedikah can't work yet. We're only willing to trust the Badika when she has such a track record that we see that it doesn't matter what the anatomy of the husband is. It's going to cause her damach mastashmish. Then I'll say, okay, anatomy of a human or anatomy of the shvoferish shalev or whatever, right? Good. A possibility. We'll see in Rishon. Then the Gemara says, okay, you're going to wait for three husbands, right? Why wait for the third bia with the third husband? Meaning, by the time she has the first bia with the third husband, aren't you already muchzak that she's seeing dam with every person? So the Gemara gives a much more simple to understand answer on that. On that question, the Gemara says, "Ein kol hakochel shavos." Not every act of tashmish is equally traumatic, right? So I'm not using traumatic as a negative word over here; just meaning has the same physical impact, right? So it could be that an act of tashmish the first time was caused her to see dam, but the next time it won't. Fine. Then the Gemara goes through it, and when I say then, it's not chronologically in the Gemara, but I'm just organizing it logically. Then the Gemara says four leniencies, four other kulas that we have aside from bedikah shofaris, aside from bedikah. First of all, the Gemara says im yesh la makabos makom tala b'makas. If she has a maka, you could assume that the blood comes from the maka. The Gemara says that doesn't always work, because if she has a maka, but the blood from her maka doesn't look like the dam nida, then you cannot assume that it's from the maka. Meaning if the blood from her maka has a darker color than the dam nida, and she sees the lighter color, you can't be tala b'makasa. You can't pretend something is what it isn't. But if the dam from her maka looks the same color as the dam nida, and she knows she has a maka, so you could be told a bit makasa. That's kula number one. Kula number two, and this is a big support for the Rebbe Yehuda, im yesh laveses tala bevesta. Now the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what that means, but if you're the Rebbe Yehuda, how would you explain that? Im yesh laveses tala bevesta. Yeah, get out of it. As long as she has a vestas kavua, don't worry about anything that's ever happened with damach mustashish. Vestas kavua will make it all go away. Not so pashut, that's what it means. We'll see many shitos and rishonim what it means. But that's certainly how the Nodeb Yud is going to want to say. Third kula, says Gemara. Ne'emenes ishalomur maka yeshli b'makar shemimena dam yotze divri Rebbe. This one is a machlokas. Rebbe says that even if we don't know that she has a makkah, but she claims she has a makkah in the makar. Wow. A makkah in the uterus. Not a makkah minat stadim in the vaginal wall. A maka in the makar, that's good enough too. It's not going to make her a nida and she's fine. He says, I believe her, but it's still going to be metame. A trauma to the uterus that causes blood to come from the uterus is dam nida. So that's a machlokas tanoi. Whether a maka b'makar will make her a nida. Then a fourth kula is the maisa. Hayida asay l'kamed rebi, amar lei la'abdan zil ba'asa. Rebbe tells this fellow, go scare her. So he takes her to the haunted house. So azal ba'asa, there was that maisa in the news that a woman was suing a haunted house for being too scary. Yeah. So azal ba'asa, so he took her to the haunted house and he scared her. V'nafal men harer is dam, a clump of blood falls out. Amar Rebbe nisrapa zos. Rebbe says, ah, she had a refuah. The Gemara brings out the stories where there were really smart rabbis that figured out, you know, how to diagnose a problem and, you know, deal with it. But those are the four kulas in the Gemara. So again, three basic parts of the Gemara. The basic halacha, this special bedika of the shoferes, and these other kulas that we have out there. Right? These other kulas of the makkah, of a veset, of her nemanus, of a makkah b'makar, and of other types of refuah.
Yeah. Blood, that it's not a maka. Shouldn't
it
be the opposite?
No. If the dam is different, if she knows she has a maka, right? And her dam maka, she also knows, is not the same color as her dam nida.
Oh.
And what comes out after tashmish is the dam nida color.
Yeah. Exact opposite.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes. So let's attack this Gemara piece by piece, right? The three parts of the Gemara. The basic halacha part, the bedika part, and then the kula part. That's the way. It's all about organization. I'm not really giving you anything other than that.
What is the second kula?
What is the second kula? So the second kula was im yeshla veses. So
what does that mean?
That's the $1 million question. The Rebbe will tell you it means is that if she at any point establishes a veses kavoy, you could forget about damach matashmish.
So what's the issue? I don't understand. What is the issue of damach matashmish? We think that it's a nida, so therefore.
No, it is nida, right? It is nida. Dumb. The question is can she ever be with her husband? Because you have to worry that it's going to happen again.
No. Well, why is it nida? Why do we assume it's nida? Why don't we?
Unless you know that it's from a maka.
So that's
the other half of the siman, right? What kind of maka does she have to have? How much knowledge do you have to have of its existence in order to say, you know what, this probably isn't nida. This is from a maka. That's the other part.
Why is the default that it's dam nida as opposed to maka?
Because when blood comes out of that part of a woman's body, you assume dam nida unless you know otherwise, or unless you have some indication otherwise. Right? I mean, that's very logical, no?
I don't think so, especially if we know that women have lots of different types of discharge.
But it's blood. It's not stomach discharge.
I understood.
So yeah. When blood comes out, 95-98% of the time, blood comes out of a woman from that part of her body. It's dam nida. So it's possible that there's a maka, but that we have to learn the rules of that. How possible does it have to be? How much do we have to know? Who can we trust? Do we have to know that the maka is actually motzi dam, or can there just be some discomfort? Right, we're going to have to get to all that. And that's obviously very, very nogei l'maisa. Okay, let's start with the basic halacha. Let's attack the basic halacha. So first of all, the Beis Yosef at the beginning of Simin Kuf Pei Zayin quotes from Rashi on the Gemara, that Rashi says, first of all, it should be davar pashut, that lav bebesula maimi. We're not talking about a besula over here. Meaning if a couple gets married, a guy marries a nice Beis Yaakov girl, whatever, right? Besultada, they read in the Ksuba, and he's horrified that night to discover that dam came out. He's like, Oyvei, she's going to be an aguna, she's going to be a surat. No, she's a basula, right? And that's dam basula, and that's okay, right? And the Beis Yosef just explains that dam basula doesn't just mean the first time. There could be dam basula that's still left over, the second time, the third time. You need to wait a little bit till you can, once you have a tashmish without any dam, and everything's fine, and everything's comfortable, and then after that, the next tashmish you have dam, that's where we're getting into the question of dam machmas tashmish. But whenever there's still dam basulim in the in that zip code, then we assume dam basulim. Yeah.
The Gemara explained that not all the reason why we wait till the third in the previous days we were discussing the reason why you wait till the third bia with the third husband is because not all of bia have the same koach.
Right.
So why do we assume that once you stop having blood in Tashmish after marriage, all of a sudden you're definitely
it's most typically the Gemara assumes dam basulim comes out all at once. Sometimes there's a little left over, and then it will come out the second time. It's unusual, although Gemara talks about the possibility of how long it can go, but it's unusual for it to last very, very long, meaning for it to go time and time and time and time again. Even Bismaneinu, I mean, we don't have, apparently they used to have much more blood than we typically experience with Dam Basulim, probably because they marry 12-year-olds, but, like in the Gemara, they talk about marrying a Nara. When you marry an adult, it's going to be different, obviously. But even nowadays, if she would keep on bleeding, they'd go to a doctor and they would take care of that. Second point, just on the Iker Halacha, we're just going to make 4 points on the basic Halacha. Second point on the basic Halacha, Beis Yosef, also in the beginning of the Siman, points out that they have to be 3 Pa'amim Ritzufin. It has to be consecutive. And the Ramah quotes this in Sif Aleph. As you would expect, right? Rama writes, "Damach v'stashmish is only ve'elu shalosh pam tzrichim lios ritzufim avlim loho yiritzufim lo nesral baila." That if it wasn't consecutive, if at some point in the middle she didn't see mach v'stashmish, she's not going to become asura l'baila. Now there is a discussion right there at the beginning of the siman in Shulchan Aruch, and it's based in Rishonim. What does it mean 3 times? How do you count to 3? Meaning, she sees damach mestashmish, right? So, that's scary. Damach mestashmish. Now we got to be on guard. So now I start counting to 3 starting the next time? Or does that already count as 1? Do you need a reyusa first? And then once there's a reyusa of 1 time damach mestashmish, then you start the count of 3. So the Shach is unequivocal about this. The Shach in Siv Katan Beis, Shalosh Pamim says the Shach im Arishon Dahainu. In case I'm not being clear enough, Od Shtei Pamim. The first time plus 2 more, that equals 3. Ken Kasa Paprisha Vchenu Paposkim Vchenu Moch Paturisim Kuvvevav. Good. This is clear. And the Taz says the same thing in Siv Katan Aleph. Pirush im Osu Tashm Shrasa Kvar Dam Machmasel. So who disagrees? Taras HaShlamim is the best discussion on this topic in Os Beis. Taras HaShlamim quotes the Shach and the Taz, the Prisha, that all say 3 times total. The Rambam says it explicitly like this, that Misha Ras Adam Shas Tashmish Hazevim Reizum Taras HaShamesh Kisheti Toher Pam Shnia Ras Adam Bepam Shnia Mishameshes Bepam Shlishes Ras Adam HaReizu Asur L'Shamesh. Right, very, very clear. 3 times total, including the first time. Aval, haturva mechaber sheetiku lashon hashas. But the Torah and the mechaber just quote the lashon of the Gemara. And what's the lashon of the Gemara? Let's see what does the mechaber say. Isha sharas adam machmas tashmish miyad v'kdeishtos di alutachsakal alutachsakeset v'tito leidlivdok v'tekanei chatzma. That's just the amount of time that she has to find it in. Mishameshes shalosh pamim. What? An isha that's ro adam machmas tashmish. Mishameshes shalosh pamim. What does that sound like? Another 3 times after the first time, which is the lashon of the Gemara. The Alta Tamalzu, and since there's some, you might be wondering, that's crazy. Why would that be? Why don't you get a free one? You buy 3, go with free. Like, what's going on? Shari arayvim b'sefer balei nefesh, because the arayvim balei nefesh kasa kein lahedya v'zal shono v'ol tavin v'teida. Kilo You cannot even consider her to be in the parsha of Damach Mestashmish until a reyusa happens that makes you think about Damach Mestashmish. Shari Shanina Brabaisa. Nisei Svarasa Damach Mestashmish. Mishameshes. Parmishona. Shnio. Shlishes. Mikan Velech. Lo Tishamesh. The Ravid says, look at the simple lashon of the Gemara. She sees Damach Mestashmish. Then, Mishameshes. Rishona. Shnio. Shlishes.
The
Mashma de kamaisa lav miminanu. Amame karala bodka velo chaisha vaf bishen lavesas. Ad kalashoda. That's the Ravid. Says the Torah Sashlomim. Yeah, of course that's the Ravid. This is the Ravid. Lishitasa. Ubehemes Ravid does the Lishitasa. The Pasuk Sham da filu isha shen lavesas in its richa bedika labaila lo lefne tashmish lo lacha tashmish. Ooh, the Ravid is the one that said, remember yesterday? That she doesn't have to do bedikas before tashmish or after tashmish, lebayla. Why? Because you don't have to be just stop being worried about roa machlas tashmish. On the list of concerns when a couple gets married, right? Oh, is they're going to be dam besulim? How are we going to support ourselves? You know, whatever the list of concerns are when a couple gets married, dam machlas tashmish doesn't have to be on that list of concerns. It's unusual. It's unusual. And therefore, you only become concerned with it, says the Ravid, when it happens once. And you don't do any bedikos for it. Okay. But the Rambam's lishita, so why? The Rambam even nishish yeshavesas needs bedikos after tashmish to verify that she's not romachmas tashmish. So the Rambam thinks this is a normal thing that women have to be concerned about. And according to the Rambam, the first one is going to count. Yeah, meaning if it's mamish l'shitaso, then it's a stira l'shach. Yeah. It's not really. Meaning, it fits. You know, sometimes l'shitaso is like, one is mukhrach from the other. That's not really. Right. Shach you don't have to be right away, but chazaka is a chazaka. Three times is a chazaka, so three times of Ramach Masash, which is enough. Is according to the Ravid? No, probably after the first one, she might have to do the bidikos because you already have a concern with Mach Masash now. And the Shach might hold like the Ravid, in that sense.
Didn't the Shach give a case where it was every 6 months? Meaning that's not consecutive.
That's a separate issue. That's later on in the Sif.
Is that not a din of
Roach? It is consecutive. It's consecutive every 6 months that it happens. I mean, it has to be a pattern that's an unbroken pattern. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Of course. Please, by all means, I have a Masorah from Rav Schechter. Okay.
My name is Moshe Einstein. I come from Cleveland, Ohio. I've been coming to Yitzhak Chonin for a number of decades. Through Rav Schechter, as a personal friend of mine. We distribute money to some hundreds of families in Eretz Yisrael, impoverished families. Families are really impoverished, penurious families. Hundreds of families. You can imagine if we give each one something that makes sense, turns out to a lot of money. Over the last 3-4 years, most of the money, not most, 85% or more comes from Yitzhak Ochon. It's a long time. It's a lot of money. The reason I'm involved in this stuff is several reasons. Two are most prominent. One is an honest tzedakah. We check out the needs of the families before we give them anything. And the larger families get larger stipends than the smaller ones don't. And as the needs vary, so is the stipend we give. And to me, most important is that there's no overhead. If you give a dollar, the dollar goes to the Eretz Yisrael. Nothing goes off. Everything else, there are expenses, and getting the money there comes from other money. It does not come from here. You give a dollar, it goes to the Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Schechter called me up during this time until really even after Yom Kippur, whatever he has in hand and whatever's been committed to him at that time will lay out the funds. It's a real tzedakah, it's an honest tzedakah. We all want to give tzedakah. We'd like to think some of the money, or much of the money, or most of the money goes to where it's intended. Here, all the money goes to where it's intended. You can make out a check to my Shul's congregation's charity fund. We simply convert it so there's a tax write-off. And that's congregation Torah Tefillah. You're not millionaires yet. Maybe you'll be. But you have friends and family who are people of means. We'd like to give them something like this. Please let them know. and it gets to Rabbi Shachter, we lay out the funds. So I urge you, whatever you can do now, please do. Whatever you can do subsequently, please do that.
Someone want to walk in?
Have you just begun teaching?
Yeah, yeah. Are you
with your name? You're in the longest of the.
Yeah.
Let's look around.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Where are you?
North Woodmere.
Yeah.
Is
it
right? Yes.
So it depends on
the
traffic?
Yeah, try to drive it off times.
I taught at Stony Brook State University before I went to Cleveland. It wasn't there, it was another time. I was on the Home River Drive. I finished the scholarly article sitting in my car. Imagine it's worse than
it. It could be. It could be, yes.
When I taught there, you know who Alfred Kaiser was? World famous critic. He told me the Oriental Express had been known as the largest parking lot.
Right.
I went there when traffic was coming. I came back and traffic was going to be up.
Good. Okay, sure. Hatzlacha Rabba. Tzimuch Tzimuch Tzimuch.
I give you a block. Always be on the giving side, never have to be on the other side.
Amen. Yeah.
What's the svara for the idea that because the first one is res, therefore it doesn't count towards the.
It's a good question. I'm working on that. Anyone have a good svara for that? Why would the first one, just because you need a res in order to be on guard, but why would it count? Meaning it's still part of the pattern.
Is it possible the first Rigia isn't talking about what you saw right at the Shastash, which we saw 5 minutes later?
It doesn't seem that way, because then what's the Havamina that it should count? Meaning,
now you got to start counting three more times.
But then there's no machlokas. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I learned from Rav Simon, that's kind of like Rav Simon's Derech HaLimud. Anyone ever learn Rav Simon? That's like a little bit of Derech HaLimud, right? He tries to minimize the machlokas as much as possible. It's also his Derech HaChayim. He tries to minimize machlokas as much as possible. I don't know. I mean, if all the achronim assume that it's a machlokas, it's hard to say that. We made one more harder than we'll have done. And we'll finish even just the basic halacha tomorrow. The halacha seems to be that the bedika has to be immediately after tashmish. When you go through that part of the sugya, and we're not going to focus very much on that. And here's why. The Gemara goes through in great detail, like a second, 2 seconds, meaning it's like, it's not a very long time. You know, but by the time you hit 30 seconds, it's way late, right? Meaning it's not a very long amount of time that you have to do that bedika to find the dam. But the reason we're not going to go through it so carefully, well, first you have to make certain cuts. We can't go through everything so carefully. But the Rama writes over here in Sif Aleph, Yesh omrim shein anu bekiyin eze mikri machmas tashmish, ki ein bekiyin b'shira niskar. We're not bekiyin to know exactly what the shir is, you know, in the amount of time afterwards. V'lachein, kol sharoa shalosh pamim samuch l'tashmish, mikri l'didon machmas tashmish v'nasar esal baila. As long as it happens close to Tashmish, that's what we'll call Tamach Tashmish. So, you know, he doesn't define Samach. But probably what he means is that if you were to ask a reasonable person, what brought this about? And they would say, oh, it seems pretty clear that what brought it about was the Tashmish. Meaning it seems that the two are related to each other. So then that's Samach Tashmish, and that would be enough to make it Ramach Tashmish. The Shach in Sivkat and Zayin is not sure that that's enough to make a woman an aguna. I mean, you have to realize we're not happy about having to make a woman an aguna. So if the only time you saw Damach Masash, which was like, I don't know, a minute later, 5 minutes later, I don't know, says the Shach, Tzarech yin imach marin and mehai taim adein anu bekiim la asro lekola olam hechashuch sko b'sholosh ha'anashim keim. You're going to go that far to be so machmir? Shach says, I'm not sure. The other topic about the basic halacha that we're not going to get to today, but Beis Hashem will start with tomorrow, is a major discussion in Beis Yosef, which is how many times is a chazaka? Meaning, we have the girsa in the Gemara, and the girsa in the that seems to indicate three sets of three. Not all Rishonim have that girsa, and there's a machlokas tanaim how to determine how many times equals a chazaka. And for that, you have to see Yevamistav Samach Dalid, because we're not consistent in our psak. We don't paskin, we always think three times is a chazaka. We're not consistent about that. There are some times in halacha that we paskin, two times is a chazaka. So what about over here? And is it possible that we split the two sets of three, right? There was the three times with each husband and three husbands. Is it possible that it's three times with two husbands or two times with three husbands? Right? Is there any reason that we might want to split the psak? So specifically in this instance. So that the Beis Yosef discusses. So and on that topic, it's kedai to take a look at the Nekudas HaKesef toward the end of the Siman as well, on that Beis Yosef. And then Beis Hashem will get into the issues relating to this Bedika that the Gemara recommends. So we have our work cut out for us tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Have a great day, everybody.